You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Well, if there was any hope at all, it's sure gone now. Hey everybody, I'm your host with the most, Joe Gazarian, and on the bright side, the Flyers losing last night means we can probably start to plan out our vacations for late spring, early summer. So, you know, silver lining, boys. Gotta take it.
Yeah, I'm Matt Arenik. Another silver lining is we will hopefully soon know what the team's new direction will look like with the deadline fastly approaching. So here's to that.
I'm Mike Zawisa, and I really need to seek help, considering I was just about ready to believe that this team is about to make a run. I don't know what I was thinking.
I mean, Joe and I thought they were going to win the division. So
yeah, imagine being us. I think we all need a little bit of therapy, though. This has been a tough season, and after Tuesday night's loss, it would take a miracle for them to really climb back in this. So I think we can close the door on the season. Good riddance. Before we get into that, Matt, you want to go through a quick word from our sponsor?
Yeah. So it's everyone's favorite tournament of the year. The golfers are in Augusta, Georgia to compete for the coveted jacket. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you in the center of all the action by giving you a shot to land in the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you a free shot at $1 million top prize when you download and sign up using promo code THPN. If you hadn't tried DraftKings before, this is the time. It's easy to play. Pick six golfers, stay under the salary cap, and submit your lineup before the tournament fees tees off early Thursday morning. Then sit back and follow the action. The more red numbers they have on the leaderboard, the closer you'll become to winning some green. Rack up points for pars, birdies, finishing position, and more. Even though you may not be able to hit the course with the pros yourself, DraftKings is giving you the chance to scratch your competitive itch and reign supreme. Download the DraftKings app now and use code THPN during the sign-up. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at $1 million top prize. That's code THPN, and you can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
All right. Excellent, Andrew. Excellent. Let's get into it, boys. I want to hear your quick thoughts on. We don't really have to touch on the Islanders overall. Just say I think the team played well. They looked better. They have the last couple games, but let's just get in what happened to Tuesday. Is the season over? What do you guys think, Mike? I'll go to you first. What were your thoughts on last night's game? Best second period. I don't know what the hell that was. Best.
The train coming through right there. I'm going to have to.
Is it the Wayne train coming to save us?
Hopefully. Man, I would kill for that. No, I think that's probably it for them.
Right. It's got to.
Like, you're never out until you're out, but
13.8% chance making the playoffs, apparently. Yeah.
Lucky number, too, 13. Look at that.
Yeah, lucky number 13. Well, I mean, with this team, 13 is probably a lucky number. Yeah, no, if they had won last night, then they were, I wouldn't say in the driver's seat, but they were right there. They stringed together two good weeks, and they're probably into a playoff spot. So, but losing that in regulation, and especially the way they did, too, like, it was, I mean, I don't think we've seen them play a better period all season than that second period.
Oh, man.
That was something else.
And, I mean, it's going to be brutal, like a lot of flack. Because it was the fourth string Bruins goalie. I mean, that sucks.
I made a couple cracks at it on Twitter.
I know you did. Jeremy Swayman's going to be a good goalie, though. He actually is. He has some.
He made some big saves.
Pedigree to him. He's pretty good. He's a good goalie. But
outplayed, I mean, Carter.
Yeah, I guess so. You got 25 shots in a period. You expect to win a game, probably. I guess.
And then followed up with three in the third. So.
Yeah. I guess that's really it. You know, I won't. I'll touch on this more once we move forward. But like, if they play like that the rest of the way of the season, then I don't know. Considering they're out of the playoffs, I'll be happy with that. You know, like at least we'll see an effort throughout the rest of the year. They actually looked like themselves for the most part last night, minus the shorthanded goal. But yeah, that's really all I have to say. Just tough.
Matt, what about you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm just going to try to stick to it. I didn't get to watch the third as much, thank God.
God bless.
But, yeah, I mean, from some positives, Sam Moran has been surprisingly solid back there. I mean, he brings that element of kind of toughness the lineup was missing. In the corners, he just pushes people away with, like, one hand, and he's making good plays where he's actually becoming the center on breakouts and giving the winger an option when the defensemen are pinching down the wall. Like, and I think that's another thing that we've seen a lot, and something that maybe we haven't touched on enough, is I think a lot of why we've struggled offensively this year is we haven't been getting the production outside of Ghost from our defensemen. Obviously, Sanheim finishes the overtime winner against Boston, but outside of that, I was looking at the goals, and it's like one or zero goals from every other defenseman. And last year, I want to say we were, what, like top in the league from points from defensemen? So I think that's something that we haven't touched on enough. It was nice to see that Sanheim, following that OT winner, Myers too, some defensemen were kind of joining the rush and helping out the forwards. So that's kind of another positive I noticed. But obviously, it's too little too late. When you have a 13.8% chance and the team you're chasing is the Bruins –
and they have games in hand on us.
And they have games in hand, and they still have to play like the Sabres a number of times, and we still have to play the Penguins a good bit of times, and we still have to play the Islanders and God knows who. I'm glad that, for the most part, we can sit here and be like, okay, what's next?
Yeah, and right before we move on to that, you guys have been harping on the officiating all year, and I've been giving them a little more slack, I think, but... holy shit. Missing that puck over glass when you're 3 feet from the play, that I mean, unless his angle was like really bad, fine. But then the roughing call on that Moran for a just a clean body check? There was nothing.
Did you see the video?
It was a hug.
Yeah, it was a Robert Haig hit. I mean.
Did you see the video of the Kevin Miller too when he like hits Konechny? And then punches him with the butt end of the stick in the face, no call. Yeah. And then you have Brad Marchand, who throws Justin Braun face first into the post, and then proceeds to slew foot Oscar Lindblom while the ref's holding him, and they're just sitting there like, yeah, everything's fine. We're doing good.
It's almost like because that team does it so often, the referees just like are like, well, that's how they play. Well,
yeah, it's the same thing with the Islanders. The same thing with the Islanders interfering with every dump in. It's like, oh, that's how they play. They play a type checking game. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Ask for forgiveness, not permission. That's what those teams do. And
I will say one last thing, though, before we move on. Matt, I know you kind of gave him a little shot, but I will say I do think it's encouraging Carter Hart has played well since coming back. I think that he looks... I don't know.
The other game, he was definitely much better. I think the only reason I said that was predominantly, like, it's just the big saves. Not in the other game, he had some very, very big saves. Yeah, that's not to say. But that second goal, which, again, as we always say, like, the Bergeron, he's wide open in the slot, right? Yeah. Like, that's kind of the constant discussion people have been having is, like, the player's wide open in the slot, but depending on where the shot goes, you're saying you would have liked to have that save.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like semantics. It's like a 50. It's a coin flip, essentially.
No, and I'm saying besides that goal, because that was one I looked at. I was like, man, that would have been nice to have. But on the whole, I think his positioning looks much better. He looks bigger in the net. He's using the glove a lot. He's like, it almost like it looks like he's going out of his way to catch a lot of pucks. And I think he's looked sharp since he took a week off. So I think that's encouraging.
I agree. I think he has looked better. Let's shift our focus now to the deadline. It is Monday, correct? If I'm not mistaken. Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern is usually the cutoff for it, unless they've changed it for COVID for some reason. But, I mean, everybody kept saying from the other podcasts I listened to, from 31 Thoughts, Elliot and Jeff both said, like, hey, you know, this week that we are going through right now would determine if Chuck Fletcher is going to do anything or not. And that's what we've heard pretty much, I don't know, the last, like, 2 weeks or so. And I would think after last night's loss, they probably shift them more towards the seller kind of avenue. I want to get your guys' thoughts on who you want to see move potentially, any kind of deal that you've heard about and you're kind of interested in. I'll throw this one out here, the Scott Laughton to the Penguins. I would be shocked if that happens. You would need a third party to do that deal because the Flyers and Penguins just don't trade with one another. The last deal that happened was that Mark Streit deal, and that they had to get Tampa involved. So I highly doubt that happens. I'd really hate to see that happen. I don't want Laughton to go to the Penguins. And
yeah, not to the Pens. But no, if they can get, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to get a first round pick for Scott Laughton. I'm being dead serious. Like, we've seen third line centers.
If there's a team that's
100% agree. I mean, last year you're talking about
there's Barclay. That train again.
Choo choo. Wind train, baby. Well, here's the thing. I don't want to. So I'm gonna say my piece real quick, and then you guys can go. I'm all for moving. Pretty much anyone. I do have a couple untouchables. Obviously, Giroux, Couturier, Farabee is an untouchable, Hart, and then Provorov. Those are my five that are untouchables. Everybody else is kind of fair game, but I'm hesitant to move the other players for picks unless Chuck's going to use those picks to go and get somebody big. But with the salary cap being so tight, I don't see that happening because you got to move money both ways. So I want to see player for player trades. I don't want to see Scott Laughton for a second. I don't want that.
But that's the whole thing though, Joe. Like, if you are making those moves to get picks and then you want to use those picks to make trades, like, you don't have to take back, you don't have to send back money if you're going, like, if you're trying to get a big name player from another team with picks. You know what I mean? Like, if you clear out money now through collecting assets, you
can... A lot of the teams that would want Scott Laughton don't have a lot of cap flexibility, so they'd have to send money.
Scott Laughton makes, what, like 2-something? That's one of the easiest contracts to get.
2.35.
Yeah. And I see what you're saying with some of the bigger guys, but for someone like Laughton, for someone like... I mean...
Sanheim.
You could throw Sanheim and Phil Myers out there even. Maybe not Sanheim. But for players like that, I mean... Even like a Nicholas Aubé-Kubel, like, I don't know.
He's had a rough year, man. Knack has had a rough year.
He just takes so many penalties, it's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to hear your guys' thoughts. What are, we mentioned the Laughton deal that's getting kicked around. What else have you guys been hearing or something that you want to see done?
I'm just glad that we aren't going to see Mark Stahl in a Flyers uniform. When I saw that,
It's not Monday yet.
Can you imagine? If he does, he should be fired on the spot. If he trades any asset for Mark Stahl, who's a terrible defenseman who literally just had to be bought out by a neighboring team, like, you got a good look at him. He's not a good defenseman. He's not going to be again in his career. You're not going to make the playoffs, and you're going to trade for him. Like, there's just no way.
I think some of those moves that I'd mentioned before, earlier episodes, like Troy Stetcher, Matthias Ekholm, Ryan Ellis, like, I don't even know if those are the type of moves that you necessarily do at this point.
Nah.
I know we talked about in past episodes, like, well, maybe make those moves now to see what it looks like this year, but, like, again, like, I do kind of agree, Joe, like, it seems like it's going to be even harder to move money in season, considering teams are now super gun-shy about the expansion draft all of a sudden. Like, you know, so I
knew that was going to happen, by the way. Everybody kept saying, like, oh, the GMs have learned, like, they're going to be fine, and the sphincters tighten the second you start talking about expansion draft now. People are like, oh,
we're 2 years, 2-3 years on, and the young players that you didn't have to worry about before are now good young players that you've got to protect or make hard decisions on, so... And the good young players that you already had to protect before have just continued to grow. So, like, you're compounding the problem. It's never easy to give somebody up, really. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I would like to see... I do think... I love Scott Laughton. And I know he's, like, a popular guy or whatever. But, like, I mean, you could really get some assets for him. I think that.
And you can always sign him back.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You could always sign him back.
Lawton, if you want to. He gives me the impression that he's one of those guys, and you see it every deadline where like they trade somebody away and then they end up just signing back with the team because that's what they're most comfortable with. And
the Leafs used to do that a lot when they were rebuilding a few years ago.
Yeah.
But I think a guy like Justin Braun, I would not be surprised if teams were looking for another, you know, bottom end defenseman.
If somebody calls on Justin Braun, you got a deal done.
I mean, teams are calling on Mark Stahl apparently. So like we see that every year.
Yeah.
You know, third line guys go. The Lightning traded for like five bottom, you know, 7-8 defensemen last night. Yeah. So moves like that, I think we're probably likely to see in season or leading up to the deadline. But then the bigger moves, I mean, I don't know, Joe, I don't know if you saw, I think it was in the latest 31 Thoughts or maybe the one before, but Friedman basically said he's heard that Chuck Fletcher is going to do some, I think he said, some plastic surgery
operating
to the Flyers. Flyers roster this offseason. So
what does that even mean?
I think like
heavy moves.
Yeah, maybe gonna try to put his actual stamp on the team instead of, which, again, the only guys from this core that I'm really like married to or that I think it would be a mistake to move are Couturier and Giroux in terms of the older guys. Like
I agree.
I think that you trade Giroux, I really don't know what message that sends. Like to the fans, to the players, to Giroux himself, like, you know, you're what? Like, you failed us? Like, or we let you down? Like, okay, I mean, maybe just try to build around him instead for the first time, you know? So, because there's still good, there's good bones of this current roster. I mean,
yeah,
center depth is there. You've got some good young defensemen who, despite steps back this year, could still be good. You've got great up-and-coming bottom-line players like the Lazinskis, the Allisons, the Wisdoms, and a couple other good young players. A great goalie, potentially franchise goalie. So there's still good bones to this roster, but maybe it's time to let some old faces go.
We keep it Philly real quick. You know, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, they brought a lot of those guys back. They got, you know, another year older and, you know, injuries started taking place, and I'm not saying that's what's going to happen with the Flyers, but at the same time, you know, sports is, it's a business, and you have to be able to move off people at the right times, and, you know, I don't know if there's ever been a clearer sign that something needs to change than this year. You know, it's kind of always been, you know, in the back of, I would say probably most of our minds, we've always said this team's kind of missing something here and there, and, you know, they would, for whatever reason, can't seem to put together a full effort in most games. You know, they're going to try their hardest the last 10 minutes of the third, but, I mean, that's what it takes. It takes them, you know, on the verge of losing to put in any effort right now. So a deal needs to be made. I just think, like you guys said, the bigger deals are going to have to happen in the offseason. Once they know what the draft's going to look like, once they know what the expansion draft is going to look like, maybe we'll see some moves there. Would not be surprised if Johnny Hockey, man, I got a feeling –
the only thing I can think of with him, though,
out there.
Yeah, he definitely can't be happy, but he's 2 years away from being a UFA. Mm-hmm. So depending on what that asking price is, like, if obviously Kevin Hayes is going to be staying here because there's no movement clause, and they just signed him, and that was Fletcher's signing when we talk about putting the stamp on the team. So, I mean, I would like him, like we said, like JVR, selling high on him would be a good move, potentially selling on Jake, not because he hasn't been playing well, but just because we need a new dynamic in that room. I agree with Lawton. If you can get some assets for him or a good prospect who can potentially make the roster next year in return. Like I know from the Avalanche, they have like Timmins, who's a right-hand defenseman. I'm not sure if that's too much for them to be giving up, but they have so much depth on that defensive core that
– yeah.
I feel like something like that may make sense. The only thing I don't know whether or not this would prohibit Chuck from selling on Braun is whether or not we need him for expansion purposes. For the reason we signed him to like a 2-year deal, him and Hague, to meet the requirement for the defenseman that we need to have exposed for the expansion. So that's something to consider in terms of if they don't move him or Hague, even though I want him nowhere near this team. Hague, that is, not Braun. But,
yeah,
yeah, I mean, I think really unless someone like this, like you said, because of the flat cap, like I, the only person I can really see going is Lawton and Gustafson. Gustafson for whatever pick you can get for him, and then Lawton for the highest bidder. Essentially,
this would be the moment to move Ghost too, if you can. I think, because he has played pretty decently recently, and
nice goal the other night.
Teams aren't willing to just take him, like his pure cap hit, I guess. So, I don't know. You could take salary back if you can get, you know, a comparable player to him, forward or defense. That's probably a win. I don't think you necessarily have to retain for Ghost, but you know, if no, you
not with one well, it, 1 year left after this year, right?
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't. That's the thing too. Even if you retain like 1.5, 2, that's not going to hurt you anyway.
Yeah.
So I think now would be the time to move him because he has no like he has no future here, right? At least with the team. I know he loves the city, but what? Like, this is going to potentially... So AV leaves town next, potentially? I'm not saying this year or anything, but we know he's not going to be the indefinite coach of the Flyers. Like, AV leaves town, and we're going to try Ghost with another coach? Like, that's just not going to happen. So probably that's probably the time to sell on him, too. And then maybe you get York a look at the end this of the year, and you get Simula a look,
That's where actually I wanted to pivot to next, so... Besides deadline deals, anything you want to see the team do in the last part of the year here? Obviously, you know, they're probably not going to make the playoffs. I had on my list, you know, seeing Zamula, seeing Wade Allison, maybe Wisdom, you know, seeing those guys kind of get the call up and see what they can do. Because if Chuck is planning on doing some surgery, like everybody's saying he is, you know, it does two things. One, it shows internally what they have, and, you know, you'll be able to deal from a position of strength if they're going to be a bona fide NHLer, if they're kind of a tweener. And also, it advertises to the rest of the NHL. They're going to have tape on them. They're going to see what they can do if you end up wanting to trade them. So I'd really like to see those young guys get a move. I talked about it a couple pods ago, but I think it was a couple years after Hague and Morin got drafted. They both got in for like two games or something. At the end of the year.
I think Manning, too. Brandon Manning.
Probably.
Was one of them, yeah.
Oliver Lartz, and, like, we saw, like, you know.
I saw his first goal live, his first NHL goal.
Oh, my
first
goodness.
And only, I think.
Kodak moment. Yeah, the Great Dane. But, yeah, I would just like to see some of the young guys come up and play. And the last thing I'll say, because besides the fact that it advertises to the NHL and it shows the Flyers what they have, it's just going to be more fun. It gives us a reason to watch, right? To be able to see new young players. So
that is one of my favorite things when your team is not a playoff team and you get to watch some young players towards the end of the season. Yeah. We didn't really get to see that all that much during the Hackstall years.
Atkinson.
He was not a... That was Berube, I think.
I think so.
Like, yeah, like Hackstall, the only guy he ever gave a shot at the end of the year was Mike Vecchione.
Mike.
That was really it.
Forgot about him.
That'll be cool if we get that chance. I can imagine AV being okay with that. I mean, he's already given Lozinski a chance. He's talked about the fact that we're probably going to see young players shuffle in. So, but yeah, towards the end of the year, I agree with you, Joe. That would be cool. I'd like to see efforts like we've seen the past few games, just to make it a little interesting to watch, because the last three games were pretty solid. I mean, they were, you know, pretty interesting, you know, fun, not fun contests, but like something to watch.
Better.
It was not aggravating or, you know, but one thing I really want to see is Patrick and Lindblom sort of finish out the year strong. I think Patrick, he looked really good against Boston last night, in my opinion. There was a couple times he like
just
circled through
goal,
the offensive
man.
Zone and stuff. Yeah.
He can't buy a point. He's let alone a goal. He's, and I agree with Mike, he's looked like he's making all the right plays. He's getting in good areas to capitalize.
He's playing physical now too.
Playing physical, like his speed is noticeably different than obviously years past. And it's frustrating because obviously, like, at the end of the day it doesn't matter because all that matters is production. But now that we're out of a playoff spot and we're not really talking about, like, making a run, then that kind of changes things a little bit. It's more about, like, the process and building in the next year, like Mike's saying, because, like you said, even, like, Lindblom, obviously, again, cancer, has taken a toll on his body. That's evident. But from a construction standpoint, you still need to know, like, because again, you think Chuck's going to say, hey, going into next year, we're going to rely on Patty and Lindblom to give us 35 points each in a 40-game season. Like, I don't even think both of them combined this year are going to put up, like, 15 or 20.
Yeah, it's been unfortunate, their production. But like you mentioned, the extenuating circumstances that have taken place. So we're not going to harp on them too much. I don't know if it was Nick Kiprios or somebody else had rumblings that the vets may not be so thrilled with the young guys and vice versa. But we'll see what happens, man. These young guys, I don't know what gripe they could have against the veterans. When
I was about to say that.
what are you complaining about? They're dragging you, kicking and screaming into the playoffs, trying to, and, you know, you're upset.
I never know who to necessarily believe when stuff like that gets out, because, like, one, you got to think, okay, well, then who's going to the media or who's going to Nick Kiprios from the Flyers locker room and being like, yeah, you know, we fucking can't get along in here. Like, because I wouldn't want to associate with the player that does that necessarily anyway. So, I never know how much to read into that. But, yeah, Joe, like, what could the young players possibly have against Giroux, Voracek, JVR? Like,
Giroux's effort the third period last night, just real quick.
Oh my god,
he was a man possessed, man. He was doing everything in his power. I think it was like 9 or 8 minute mark of the third. He came out and just absolutely tried to. He was the only one forechecking. He was the only one from his knees. He was trying to win like five battles.
He single-handedly tied the Islanders game. He was, I believe, in on at least one of the goals against the Bruins the other night. Like,
there's only so much he can do. Jesus.
Exactly. And if nothing else, it shows you, like, okay, you do not need to trade Giroux, because if this is around the level of play you can get from him the next couple years, you're probably okay. Like, even if he takes a slight drop off, you know, rated out an entire season, he's what, still 65 points? Because he's probably on pace for like a 70-point year or whatever.
Yeah, and then you find
it to 82 games. So,
you find a competent power play coach or someone who can put together the right lineup, and he becomes a power play specialist like a Joe Pavelski later on in his career, then he's probably sticking around the 60-70-point mark that way. That's where he can make up those points as opposed to scoring 5-on-5.
Yeah.
It would be scary how many wins this team might have if
their special teams wasn't terrible.
Yeah, special teams
is brutal.
Second to last ranked penalty kill.
I'll add that to my amendment for the off season. Fire Therrien and Mike Yeo.
Yeah. I think that experiment, it's over. Jesus Christ, how many trains are running? Like, what is happening? It's every 10 minutes. It's like every 2 minutes.
We're going to wrap it up in a second. We just want to do a quick roommate roundtable there, Matt? You want to walk the audience through real quick?
Yeah, so out here in Denver, I have three roommates, Jordy, Ethan, and Josh. And then we also have a question from Josh's girlfriend, Luis, as well. So we can, if we want, I have the questions in here. So do we want to pick like one from each person?
Here, I haven't looked at them, so you ask me on the fly.
All right, we'll just ask them. Okay.
Ask us each one question.
Blind
I'll
reveal.
Ask each person.
Okay. All right. Let's see.
It can be like Mike's game we play for Christmas, the reindeer game. Pot of gold or pot of coal.
Pot of gold or pot of coal, yeah. That was great.
And Chunky, Chewbacca's wife.
Oh, boy.
All right.
We'll start with Josh. These are going to be my honest answers.
We'll start with Josh.
Okay.
And I guess we can kind of tie the first two questions into one. His question is, has the coach lost the room? And do you think there's going to be any like front office / coaching changes this offseason? Which is what we just touched on, so I figured we'd talk about that.
I would say I don't think AV has lost the room. There are definitely going to be changes. I would be shocked beyond belief if they do not let go Mike Yeo and Michelle Therrien. I don't think it's going to happen during the season. I think it's going to be an off-season thing, just because at this point, I mean, I don't know what happens when you let go assistants like that. Who comes up? Who do you have? You bring people from the Phantoms or from, you know, the Reading Royals? I don't know. I have no idea how that works. So, yeah, I don't think AV's lost the room yet. I mean, if they continue to play like this the rest of the year, if they just, like are one of, like, are either the worst or one of the worst teams in the NHL, revisit that conversation then, because the answer could be yes at that point, but not right now.
Michael?
Especially
any thoughts?
With this question? Yeah, I mean, especially, I'm going to sneeze.
Bless you.
Oh my God.
Watermelon sugar. Hi. There you go.
That was a big one, too. It's these allergies, man. Oh my God.
Yeah,
Corona. Fast and furious.
I don't think he's lost the room yet. I think, in my opinion, the players have kind of just let him down this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what failure where the failure comes in to play the system that worked so well from them last year. I don't understand how you can defend guys just totally out of position and out of, you know. But I do agree with Joe. If the season just spirals out, you might have to revisit that conversation, especially when you have Gerard Gallant, who his philosophy lines up with Chuck Fletcher's philosophy as a general manager. Very analytics-driven, very, like, you know, we like our young players, we have our own numbers that we keep, we have, you know, stuff like that. So I don't know. I agree with Joe. It's a discussion that probably isn't worth having right now, but give it a couple months and maybe we'll...
Yeah, if they bottom out. By the way, I just looked at the schedule. They play 4 games from April 25th to May 1st, all against the Devils. So you will find me at the bottom of a lake. I will not be watching that. Next question, Matt. Go ahead.
Next question from Luis. Why is the ball called a puck?
That's a good question. I honestly have no idea.
I have no idea.
It's a great question.
Should we look it up?
Yeah, someone looked that up real quick. I do not know. Someone looked that up. While we're looking that up, I will pivot to Ethan's question. I'll give Mike like 2 seconds because we might get an answer pretty quick here.
The Oxford English Dictionary suggests the name is related to the verb to puck, which is a cognate of poke.
Great rapper, too.
Used in the game of hurling for striking or pushing the ball. Okay, so...
To poke. Okay. Interesting.
Okay. All right. So I guess it, whatever.
The more you know, the more
there's
you know.
Your answer.
Yeah.
All right.
I wish that they just called it. I don't know. Yeah, I guess puck's the perfect word. I couldn't think of anything else.
That was a good question. I like that
one. No one heard my Tupac joke.
That's a perfect question. On its face, that looks like a dumb question, but that is a great question because I guarantee you no hockey fan or player
knows
can tell
why.
You why it's.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Here's and then. Now we have Ethan, who Josh and Ethan are both from Colorado and are both Avs fans.
Good for
them. I think I've mentioned this on the podcast that now, because I live in Colorado, we cannot watch the Avalanche.
Because the NHL blackout restriction, right?
No, because the owner has some type of gripe with whatever media network out here, and they won't let them play the games. There's like not an agreement.
Wait, the owner of the Avalanche?
Yes.
So they can't be watched.
I don't know the logistic. I don't know like the actual like top of my head. I can't speak to exactly what the issue is, but essentially, the owner and whatever media group in the state of Colorado or this region essentially does not allow for people of Colorado, the residents, to watch the Avalanche. So I cannot watch Avalanche games, which is depressing because they're a very fun team. So his question is, if the Avalanche top line of Mikko Rantanen, Gabriel Landeskog, and Nathan MacKinnon was the Flyers' top line, replacing, I'm assuming, we'll just say, G, Kutz, and Voracek, would they be a cup contender?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because, I mean, obviously,
I mean,
our issue is...
Players.
And you know how much I love Nathan MacKinnon. I take
MacKinnon I would die to watch him.
They might be flirting with a playoff spot, but... I mean, Gabe Landeskog is good, but is he better than Sean Couturier? Probably not.
He's a tough customer. I like him.
Yeah, I mean,
Gabe Landeskog is not better than Couturier, but yeah, the other two are definitely better than at right now.
Voracek and Giroux, yeah, 100%. But, I mean, that's not enough to make them a cup contender.
Mm. Correct.
The Oilers aren't a cup contender with
McDavid and Drysdale.
Connor McDavid and Drysdale, so, yeah. That's a good, that's a nice, like, thought experiment, though.
All right, and I did have my fourth roommate ring, or I guess the third roommate, because Lou's not a roommate, ring in middle of this, probably heard us recording, and his question, I'm going to pick between the two, so let me see. What is our bigger need, a pure goal scorer or a solid defender? That's a tough one.
If Provorov had played better this year, I would just have said goal scorer, but I think it's pretty clear now. I don't think he's a true number one. He might be like a 1B or like a really, really probably the best two in the game. But I think he needs a very steady, reliable partner to go with him. And I would say defender at this point, even though my heart wants Patrick Laine.
I knew that was coming.
I think that's a good question.
It's a very good question.
Too. I think that currently Ivan Provorov is a high two or a low one. And I do think he will be, like, you know, a number one defenseman, probably top 10, whatever, among his age range at some point within the next few years. He probably is already one of the better defensemen among his age range. But I don't even think he needs a legit number one partner with him. He just needs a capable, like, number two defenseman. Like, Matt Niskanen was not a number one defenseman when the Flyers brought him in. So, and that was arguably Provorov's best year. So, yeah, if they can get him, you know, an Ekholm-level defenseman, like we've been talking about, I think that was the question, do they need bigger need as a true number one or a goal scorer?
It was a pure solid goal scorer, or it's solid.
Yeah,
solid. Okay, then yeah, I go with defenseman, because I mean the defense is a mess. And
yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
They're both needs.
Yeah, yes,
both they are. Yes, they are.
The Flyers won last year by being a solid defensive team and a good transition team, so that's always more important.
Agreed. And the last question I will leave you with from Ethan again. Who wins a championship next, the Eagles or the Flyers?
Gotta be the Flyers. Has to be the Flyers. Yeah. If it's the Eagles, I would be... Howie Roseman must have made several deals with the devil in order to get that done again. We got a long time for the Eagles are at that level again. So, Flyers.
I agree.
By that, we mean like 20 years or something.
Hey, I mean, if you average it out, right? I mean, the Phillies won a World Series in 08, right? And then...
So I actually did the numbers on this one time. I wish I could find it. I did Boston versus Philly Sports.
Mm-hmm.
Philly Sports is like one every
10 years.
If you take all the championships and then you like spread it out over the existence of Philadelphia sports, it's like once every 50 years or something they win a championship.
Oh,
or something.
Oh my god!
I wish I had the numbers handy. But then that's with Boston, tough. It's literally like once every 3 years they win a championship. If you take like all of their championships across sports and for how long they've been in the league,
I guess the Philadelphia Soul, and Philadelphia.
and the Wings,
the soul,
Philadelphia Wings,
once every 30
and the Philadelphia
years
Kicks
for
as well.
The Kicks. Yeah. Oh god. No, I think that's a good point. I don't know if there's any firemen on the board for the draft coming up in the NFL, but if there is, Howie's going to snag them up. But I agree with you guys. I think they're all good questions from the roommate roundtable. We'll maybe
come back to this.
Revisiting that segment in a future
100%.
Day.
100%.
All right, boys. Mike, you got to run. You got errands to go. You got stuff that you got to do. Anything else, boys, you want to end it? Any last thoughts? They have... the Islanders tomorrow, and then they play the Bruins again.
Dude, have we played the Islanders every other day for the last, like, 5 weeks? I'm dead serious. I feel like every episode we're talking about the Islanders.
No.
This is five games in 7 days.
I hated this season. I hated the schedule.
We played the Islanders. So here's what it was. We played the Islanders the 18th, the 20th, and the 22nd. And then we play them again on the 3rd.
There's the train again. Just your average 2-minute stop. On that schedule, can't beat it.
All right, that's it. We're going to wrap it. Everybody, have a great week. Don't watch this team. Spend your time doing something else more productive. Take care, everybody. Have a great week.